Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, this is Lauren Bowles. You know I play Holly, the new waitress at Merlot's on HBO's True Blood, right? All right, here's the deal. I'd rather spend all night with them damn bloodsuckers than another minute listening to that Mr. Media radio. No thanks.
That wasn't very nice. Well, today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Emily, host of the podcast Sex with Emily, the second in my series of shows featuring content heard on Stitcher, the iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, Palm Pre internet radio app that is my favorite smartphone app ever. Stick around.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media show right on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free app at www.stitcher.com. That's STITCHER.com.
So much media. So little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 700 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by thepartyauthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania area? Well, for any and all occasions, call the Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience that hasn't gotten anything up since Ronald Reagan was president in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
You know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
Well, for now, she's still Emily, the host of the podcast Sex with Emily. But pretty soon it will be Dr. Emily to you, bub. That's right. Our pretty little internet radio sex and relationships goddess is in the process of studying for what I believe is a doctorate in human sexuality. Now, regular listeners of Sex with Emily have been keeping abreast. Oh, I can't believe I said that. Have been keeping abreast of the situation as Emily blends her real life with our lives. Here's a recent clip from the show where she talks about what she's up to.
I've been in school, as you know, and I just finished my 3 weeks of school. My last day was yesterday, and so I'm well on my way to becoming a, you know, doctor.
So what now?
Sexuality.
You do 3 weeks, and then what?
3 weeks, and then I have home study, so I have a bunch of videos to watch, maybe porn, books to read.
Sounds like my kind of study. Sex with Emily, which began life as a traditional over-the-air radio show in San Francisco, is now in its sixth year and remains one of iTunes' most popular podcast downloads. The show is not a sausage fest. That is, despite the title, it is rarely graphic or pornographic. In fact, most of us keep tuning in of late wondering when Emily herself is going to get some sex. As I think she'll tell you, it's been a while. And it's not just Emily on the show, just to clarify. She works all the time with her faithful sidekick, Menace, sometimes known as Dennis, and often features guests from entertainment, politics, and the world of entertainment. You can catch Sex with Emily on your mobile device with the Stitcher app or on iTunes or via her website, sexwithemily.com. Emily, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi, it's so good to be here. Talking
nice to
you.
Nice to have you. Been enjoying the show for a while. Was looking forward to having you as a guest.
Oh, fun. Well, thank you so much for that. Yeah.
Thank you. And is it proper to wish someone a happy sex toy day?
Yes, it is. It is sex toy day. November 4th. It's like, I think it's the first official sex toy day, whatever that means. I mean, it's not in the Constitution or anything, but it's a, you know, sex toy day. And they're actually, the website went just crashed because there was so much traffic. And so they're getting it back up right now. But you go to sextoyday.com and you can get a free sex toy. And I'm not really supposed to announce this yet, but if you contact me at feedback@sexwithemily.com, they're going to have some extra toys once they get rid of the first 1,000 toys that I'm going to give away exclusively to my listeners. Since you
and
brought
I guess
it up.
If I can say abreast in the intro, you can say that your website is getting it up, right?
Okay. I can say all that, yeah. There's just so much of that, yeah. So many puns intended and not intended all the time.
So how does one properly celebrate such a day as Sex Toy Day? Do I hear like a grinding sound in the background?
No. That was at home this morning.
Okay.
No, just kidding. I didn't have time because I was rushing here to get to you. I wanted to talk to you. No, it's basically celebrating the fact that more than half of women in America have admitted to having a sex toy. And people use sex toys. They're out there, more than half people. And we just wanted to show people that it's, you know, safe, it's healthy, it's a good thing, it can be a fun accoutrement to your sex life. And so they're giving away, with mypleasure.com, we're giving away 1,000 sex toys to people. Just
wow.
Because everyone should have one.
It's a real public service.
It's a real public service, exactly. And so, yeah, everyone should check it out.
Well, I should point out that is happening today, November 4th, 2010. And if you listen
right.
to the archive of the show, don't go looking for the free sex toy. You'll have to buy yours like the rest of us.
Exactly.
Did I just say that? Okay.
Yeah, you can buy that. You can buy, exactly. I can get you a toy.
Well,
what do you want?
It's not what I want.
Okay.
Emily, it would seem it would take a special kind of person to talk sex with complete strangers. So I got to ask, how did you get started in this?
I got started in it because really I had a curiosity about sex and relationships. And really my show, like you said, and I appreciate that you said that it's not, you know, dirty, crazy porn, alternative sex all the time. I mean, not at all, really. It's really about, it's more mainstream sex and relationships. You know, you have a lot of it is about relationships. So anyway, I was interested in learning more. And I'm a documentary filmmaker. That's my background. And so I decided to start interviewing. I actually worked in politics for 10 years, which is interesting. But I worked in politics. I made a film about politics called See How They Run, which you can get it on Netflix or wherever. And then I decided, well, okay, I just did politics. What do I want to talk about? And what do I want to learn more about? Because, you know, in this job, when you're interviewing people, you're also learning. And I thought sex and relationships. So I really just invited 5 people over to my house in all different stages of relationships and sexual orientations. And I interviewed them, and I posted it as a podcast on iTunes, almost 6 years ago, which I can't believe. And it became really popular right away, and, you know, because it has sex in the title, that helps too. But really, it's real conversations with people about what's going on in their sex lives and their relationships. That's how it started, at least. I have 180 shows, I think. And I'd say the first 100 shows had guests every time, and now we just have guests, you know, maybe every other time. But it's a little bit of everything. It's sex news, it's sex advice, sex tips, relationship tips, and real people sharing their stories, which I find fascinating. Because I think the thing about sex is that I believe that it really touches everybody, because everybody is curious about sex and or relationships. Either they're having too much sex, not enough sex, they'd like more sex, they don't like the sex they're having, they want sex with someone else, whatever it is. I don't know anybody. When people ask me who my audience is, it's really everybody.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We're just never happy, are we?
No, we're never happy. It's the universal law of suffering. Everybody's got issues, right? But no matter what it is, I mean, even if you're having amazing sex one day, then something else is happening in your relationship. So really, everyone's got these kind of issues. We're not happy, but we're trying to be. We're trying to be, right? We're trying to make our lives better. I don't know that we're all going to be happy all the time, but we're trying to improve our lives. Right?
I remember reading somewhere that we find it easier to talk to strangers about sex than we do about money.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I do. I do think so. Well, money, because so many issues around money are about ego and pride and insecurities, and I think flashing your bank account is like saying so much about you. But in relationships, I mean, I think sex is the kind of thing, like I go to a party and I've got the stranger next to me telling me about this bump they just found on their penis or something. I mean, really, like, people tell you everything, especially when you're a stranger. But you know, in relationships, the two biggest issues that people, they say, that drive couples apart, or that are the biggest issues in relationships, might not drive them apart, but it's an issue, is money related issues and sex issues.
Mm.
And apparently it's harder for them to talk about money. Yeah, says you.
I envy what you do. I think, 15, 20 years ago, before I became a parent, I think I've been very comfortable doing what you do in terms of the conversations and stuff. But there's that thing that takes over when you have a kid, and suddenly, you know, your kid's got to answer for all the things that the parent does.
I know.
So I, you know, have to be more careful. Even in this conversation, I'm more careful about what I say because, you know, the teenagers, boy, they know everything.
Exactly. Well, we'll be careful. I won't ask you about your sex life. How's that?
Oh, God,
unless you want to talk about it. Okay.
Yeah, not particularly. How? Okay. But having said that, I did wonder. I mean, you talk about yourself during the show. Were you ever awkward talking about your own sex life in the beginning, or did it come naturally, or did
you
focus on other people?
It's funny that you say that because it's funny that you ask that question because if you look back at the show now in 6 years of the show, I really just recently, I'd say in the last year, started talking more about myself. So there are people that go back and download all the shows and listen to them from the beginning, and I think I've never done it. But there must be an interesting progression because at the beginning I was like, this is not about my sex life, this is not about what I'm doing, and I'm not going to share it. And I really just felt like it was more interesting and more just useful to hear for me to interview people in depth about what they were doing. But the show's kind of, you know, twisted and turned as like part of the creative process, and I think I do feel more comfortable, and I feel like my listeners are my friends, and I sort of share what's going on. But, you know, not too much, but I think definitely more than I used to. So I think it's just been a comfort thing. At the beginning, I was like, I'm not talking. You know, I give little throwaways, but now I think it's more like people are following me through my, you know, I'm single and dating and what's going on in my life. And like you said, I guess people are interested. So I try to big it up. I try to talk about more about it. And Menace is more open now. Menace is talking more about it. So Menace is my sidekick. So, you know, why not? I guess if people are interested, I'll tell them a little bit here and there. Little nuggets.
I don't know. It's an old married guy. I want to hear less about Menace's conquest. It sounds like it's too easy for him. What's the deal?
I don't know. He's like a local radio guy, and he's, you know, gets free concert tickets. And, girl, he's adorable, and girls like him. I don't know. So he says. I've never actually seen him with anyone, but I believe him. No, I believe him. I mean, I know he's adorable. Girls like, he's a little bit, he's like a local celeb, you know, so people, and he's great, and he's cool, and he's hip, and I guess he's got, you know, and he's young, he's 30, and he was engaged for 5 minutes, and so then I think after that, he's just doing the whole sleeping around thing.
I'm sorry to laugh, but when you said I've never seen him with anyone, it's like, wow.
No, that came out wrong. We don't hang out that much, which is so funny because some people are like, why don't you guys like each other? But we do, but we're just really busy. We're not. And it's funny because he and I don't talk off the show. We're never like, so let's talk about this or that. I come in and we turn on the mic and we start talking. And that's where we do all of our talking. So I really don't, you know, I'm sure there, actually I did meet his fiance that he was engaged to for 5 minutes. But besides that, you know, I don't know what he does at night. I don't know.
Well, you skipped his birthday party from what I hear.
I know. I felt so bad. I did feel bad. I was totally planning on going, and I didn't feel well. I had this guy in town from L.A. that I was dating, and we went out to this dinner, and I'm never the quiet one at the table, and he looks at me. He's like, you're really quiet. And I got, like, sick, and I missed it, and I feel so bad. He'll never let me live it down.
Oh.
But it's okay.
Yeah, I got that sense. I definitely got that sense.
There were, like, 600 people there or something. What's he going to miss me? That's okay.
Apparently he did.
I know. I feel bad. I have to make it up to him. I bought him a really nice bottle of champagne.
I think if I worked with someone who hosts a show called Sex with Emily, I think all my friends would be dying to meet her, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of that, now I remembered when I was in high school up in the Northeast, growing up and going to sleep at night, and I would fall asleep listening to Dr. Ruth, who had
Dr. Ruth,
one of the original, of this type of show, and very graphic. It was on an FM station. One of the rock stations would run her, you know, like 11,
right.
10, 10, 11 o'clock. And I wondered, you know, did you grow up listening to someone like that, or did you create this persona and this
I really
this thing,
didn't.
You know,
I didn't grow up listening to anything like that. It was really, I've never heard her show. I did interview her once, but I never heard her radio show. It hasn't been on the air in years. I listened to Loveline every once in a while with Dr. Drew. I used to listen to that, but not a ton. And I don't listen to other podcasts. I've actually never heard another podcast. I don't know if that's a bad thing to say or not, but I really haven't. I don't consume a lot of media. I don't have a television set. And I really don't know. It's my show is not based on anything other than like what I, you know, want to share with my listeners and what I decide to talk about every week. And now what I'm learning in school, as you mentioned. But I really didn't start out to be like anything else. Because I don't really consume any other media. Oh, yeah, it's kind of strange, but it's true. I'm just busy all the time creating my stuff, so.
I hear you.
There you have it. Right. Yeah, you know how it is. Well, it's like hard to doing your own show, to listen to all the other shows. I'd like to, and I, you know, at some point I'll be on. I always hope I get, like, stranded on a desert island for, like, 2 weeks. Maybe not stranded. Maybe it's a really nice desert island, and I can bring all my books and DVDs and everything I want to listen to and read and catch up in life. I think that's ever going to happen?
I think that's a great idea.
I know.
Can I go with you?
Yeah, totally. It'll be fun.
just you and me on a desert island with nothing to do but catch up on the media.
Exactly.
Well,
doesn't that sound pathetic? That is my life. I really am. I'm a workaholic. I am a workaholic. I'm going to go on vacation on a desert island and listen to podcasts. But, you know, there, everyone's got that. As long as, you know, that's the half the battle in life is knowing, you know, your strengths and your weaknesses and who you are.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, look, let's take a really quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media radio interview with Sex with Emily podcast host, Emily. Stick around.
Ever thought of hosting your own radio show? Now you can by registering at blogtalkradio.com. While you're there, check out our selection of premium packages. To start your own show today, visit blogtalkradio.com.
This is a public disservice message from the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Don't waste your evenings doing volunteer work at your local mental hospital. Remember, even if you do, the crazy people there will probably think you didn't.
Something to think about. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with Sex with Emily podcast host, Emily. But before I bring Emily back, here's another clip of her discussing a typical week in her sexology class. Give a listen.
This week in sex school, I was taking notes throughout the week about things that we had to do. So we were in this advanced, what was it called? Practical skills. We're learning our practical skills. So this is what I had to do this week. I got naked in class. I made a picture of my vagina. I wrote a letter to my body part, particularly my G-spot, and I got analyzed by my professor in front of class. She did a therapy session on
naked?
Me. Naked? I got naked. Okay, so here's the thing.
No, you got analyzed naked?
No, I did not get analyzed naked, but that would have been interesting. So that would have been interesting. So no, I mean, it sounds kind of silly because I'm writing this down like, my vagina, I got naked. But really, it was really about being comfortable with your body because so many people, you know, we're learning to be, you know, sexologists. And so when you have to be comfortable with your own body, if you've got body image issues, you know, that's a major issue in when you're a sex therapist or sex counselor. So it's just like being comfortable with your own body. But not only did we have to get up in front of class, you got up, you had the option of leaving your clothes on. There was a few people that left their clothes on, but I took everything off except for my underwear. I couldn't quite, was that bad?
I got totally naked.
You got totally naked.
You forget? You forgot?
Mm-hmm. I didn't forget. You looked hot.
I forgot.
No, you did.
That's okay.
Not that I sexualized you, but it was hot. I remember.
Wait, so you got to get naked and then you just stand in front of everybody?
No, you go to a mirror. There was a mirror in the class, and you had to talk to yourself in the mirror and be like, well, I really think my ears are funny and I don't like my hair and my boobs kind of are this and my vagina. Like, you had to go through your whole body and analyze it naked in front of the class, and the class doesn't say a word.
I got to ask you, because at first you said you got naked, but then you said you kept your underwear on in class. Now, having spoken to you now for the first time after having listened to the show on and off over the last couple months, I think I get this, but I guess I was a little surprised. It's still a little modest, though, huh?
I'm still a little modest. I am. I have to say, I'm not crazy sex. I really am. I'm modest. People are like, oh, Sex with Emily, she'll be the one who takes her clothes off. But, you know, that's kind of, it's I want to say intimidating, but it's, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's just kind of scary to stand there in front of your classmates, and it's a very open, safe, warm environment, and it's like everyone knows each other, and we just met in 3 weeks, but you know how it is. It was an intensive 3 weeks, and it was like every day. Anyway, so it's like the teacher said that. I'm like, oh, my God, how am I going to do this? Like, I sat there, and then, like, there was one guy in the class, and it's 20 women and one guy, and he got up first and got totally naked. And he was like, okay, here I am. I like this. I don't like this. And I was like, okay. And then the women, one by one, people started getting up, and everybody chose. Some people left, you know, their bra and underwear on. Some people took everything off, and I left my underwear on. I couldn't quite do it. Yeah. So, but it was a great experience.
I think my wife would probably I think my wife would probably say that I would be that guy who just got up, took his clothes off, and just started yakking about it. I went to school at the University of Florida, and I remember taking a human sexuality class, and my experience is you get desensitized even in a big auditorium with the same people day in, day out, and you're watching, even though you're watching porn, and we were watching crazy porn. I mean, I can't believe we were watching what we were watching.
That's amazing.
I remember watching 60 and 70-year-olds having sex and thinking, oh, my God.
Yeah, I saw that film, too. We had to watch 60 and 70-year-olds. We watched people in wheelchairs. I bet you it was the same film, because there's not that many sex films out there that are sex education films. There's only a few, that they can show in classes. So I bet you we saw some of the same sex education films. But, you do. You're right. You become desensitized a little bit to it, and you also just become super comfortable. We did watch a lot of 70s porn and 70s educational films, 70s educational films.
So you've been doing this radio show for, going on 6 years.
I guess so, yeah.
Why did you decide that you needed to get a degree in sex at this point?
Well, there's an amazing school in San Francisco called the Institute for the Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, I'm an education, but I love learning. I love the learning process. I like school. And it's an amazing program, and the students that came in were from all over the world. I was the only American San Franciscan. They came from Thailand and Australia and New Zealand, all over the world, and so China. And so I was like, it's a really intensive program. I think I have a lot more to learn. Everyone says I'm an expert, and I guess I am now. I've learned a lot. I've been doing the show. I've read every sex book there is out there and interviewed dozens, hundreds of experts. But, there's something about school and learning and being in the more official process and doing that. So that's why it's right here in San Francisco. So I said, why not?
So, Dr. Emily, tell me one thing that you learned in class that you hadn't already learned on the streets in San Francisco.
That's a great question. There is actually a lot. I think some of the media, actually, when I say I don't consume media, I consumed hours and hours, hundreds of hours of media in these 3 weeks. And I'd say some of the stuff that I saw, we had someone come in and speak on sex and disability for 2-3 days. So I saw a lot of sex with people with disabilities, people in wheelchairs. And a disability isn't just an outwardly thing. There's a lot of people that have other kinds of disabilities sexually. They have, ejaculation issues, or they have, just a lot of things that they could, they could have arthritis. They could things that you don't really notice that are going to, everything affects your sex life. And so I think I learned a lot more about the clinical side, the medical side of it. Nothing that, scintillate. I guess I didn't learn a crazy new sex position, because it really wasn't like that.
Okay.
But it was like sex and disability and sex and, education, sex laws that have been enacted over time over the last 50 years, and a lot about Kinsey, which I've always knew a little bit about Kinsey. I've read books and saw the movie, which they say is not really that good. The Kinsey movie, they say, isn't that well representative of what he actually did. But, going back to historically studying sex is really interesting to me.
Mm. I remember reading the Kinsey Report when I was taking that human sexuality class, and that was around the same time, I think, that Gay Talese's book, The Neighbor's Wife, came out. Boy, was that an eye-opener. That was a hell of a book.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, coming back to the radio show, now I'm friendly with Chip Rowe, the Playboy advisor, and he's been on the show, Mr. Media, a couple of times. And I'm always curious with him, and I'll ask you, but what are the most consistent issues that your listeners raise about sex?
I'd say the most consistent issues are orgasm issues, either from men or women, mostly women who have a problem achieving orgasm with their partner, whoever they're with. They can do it on their own, and they can't have one with a partner, which is normal, because only 30% of women actually have orgasms during intercourse. They need the extra stimulation, and it's just harder to do. So I'd say that's a big one. And so from women and men, from men who are worried that their partner can't, and from women who are worried that they can't either. And I would say that that's probably the biggest one. And then I get a lot about, penis size issues. That's a big one. Am I too big or small? Believe it or not, I had a guy who thought he was too big. You don't hear that too much. But I'd say that, and I'd say just issues around desire that people, you know, the couple has been together 10 years and they have kids and things are crazy and they don't have time to have sex anymore, and what do? And they're thinking of going elsewhere. That's a common scenario. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I'd say those are common issues.
Are there questions that you hear repeatedly that drive you crazy?
No. Nothing drives me crazy about my show. I absolutely love it. I don't know if you feel this way about your show, but doing the show, when I'm recording, that is my favorite three hours, because we do three shows now, so it's my favorite 3 hours of the week.
Mm. I'm pretty close. My favorite time of the week is when I'm out coaching girls soccer, and second favorite would be when I'm doing the show.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
got
listeners,
it.
But you come second to soccer, what can I say?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Are there any urban myths you'd like to debunk once and for all?
Urban myths that I'd like to debunk. Like what? Tell me what you've heard. What do you
mean? I don't know. I don't listen to things. But, you know, I mean, the oldest one in the book was that you could get VD from a toilet seat, I guess.
Right. That's not true. And you're not going to go blind from masturbating, and you don't use up your sperm from masturbating too much. And using a sex toy isn't bad for you. That's a lot. People are worried, well, if I use a sex toy, will I become addicted to it and not be able to orgasm? It is true that if you only orgasm in the same way, even if you only touch yourself in the same way, it's good to mix it up. It's good to try other, explore your body and to try other ways to do things. But, you know, all that stuff about, like, masturbation and going blind, it obviously isn't true. And losing your sperm, and you can masturbate too much, and all that stuff isn't true. And the sex toy is a big one. People are worried about sex toys, that they're bad. And men worry, hello, happy sex toy day again. And men worry that, you know, that the sex toy is threatening. A lot of men are threatened by sex toys, and I just always say you should never be. It's your new best friend. You really don't have to do, you know, as much work. And a lot of women, again, need the kind of clitoral stimulation that they're just not going to get from penetration. They're not going to get it that way, and they need to add a sex toy. And actually, the sex toys that we're giving out for sex toy day are great. Pocket rockets, and they're an amazing, powerful, small, not, you know, unobtrusive vibrator that has really powerful stimulation that's you could use during intercourse.
I remember hearing recently on another podcast, the Jay and Silent Bob Grow Old, where Jason Mewes was saying that he likes to use wear, it's made for women, I think, the underwear that has the vibrator built in.
Ah, yes, I have those. Those are great. Is he joking?
No,
those are
serious.
Remote
no,
control.
When I know
really?
Jason, I think he was serious.
They're black lace panties. I don't know. Those are great. Those are called the Astrea, I think, or the Astrea 2, Astrea. And there was a movie, I can't remember the name of it, with Heigl, Katherine Heigl, when she wears these panties. And in basically you wear them, there's a little tiny vibrator inside of it, and you give it to your partner. Let's say you're going to a party or you're going to dinner, and your partner can control the remote control of the vibrator, so you feel it in your pants and down and off and all that stuff. You never know when he's going to turn it on. It's just a little sex game. If you just want to spice up your sex life, go buy some panties. Go buy some vibrating panties and call it a day.
We are just about to run out of time, but I have to ask you, I brought it up in the introduction, and I know I have to ask you, why is the sex expert not having any sex, and how long has it been?
No, I was on a manatorium, which is like a moratorium without men, for 7 months. I wasn't dating, and I actually have had sex. I thought I announced that. I did with someone, but it's I'm really not dating anyone right now, but it was like a little brief thing. How's that? Did I not announce that? I thought I kind of implied that. See, now you're getting the scoop. But for 7 months, I really haven't, for the most part. And it's been really good for me because I just wanted to take time off from sex for a while.
Like a heavyweight boxer. You just want to step away from it, focus on your game.
Exactly. But I'm ready again. I'm ready, and I'll keep you all posted.
All right. Well, Emily, are you on Facebook or Twitter besides your website?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. It's Emily Morse, M-O-R-S-E, and my fan page is Sex with Emily. And I'm on Twitter. It's Emily Morse. And I have a YouTube channel, which is Sex with Emily. And I'm also shooting a TV pilot for Bravo, which will be out next year.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Well, Emily, it's been a lot of fun talking with you. I suspected it would be. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. So nice talking to you. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
Stay in
touch.
All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And for more original interviews with your favorite sex and relationships experts, including the Playboy Advisor and Mr. Skin, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. And you can subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, if you'd like to comment on this show, or if you're interested in advertising on Mr. Media, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. That's mrmedia.com. And you can follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/Andelman, or on Facebook, just search Mr. Media Interviews. It's a good way to keep up with the latest guests and the upcoming shows. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening.